You're listening to the Career Crossroads broadcast of today's shared headlines. CXR members get full articles and additional members-only content at careercrossroads.com.
So hi, this is Jerry Crispin from Career Crossroads, and I'm with Angie Veros, because I can't pronounce her whole damn name at any time whatsoever. But together we were in Japan, and we had a ball.
Yes, we did.
So, Angie, the conversation I wanted to have with you a little bit today is really about one part of our Japanese trip. If you remember, we were hanging out with a group of MBA students at Hitsubishi University, something like that.
Yes, yes.
It's close enough.
Yes, it is.
And we had about 40 of us, 40 students to split among our group of 10, 12 folks. So we each had a table. So tell me a little bit about the table of students that you had.
Yes. So we had, I was paired with Sue Messenger, and I'm going to apologize in advance because I have a scratchy throat. I don't normally sound like this. But we did have a group of, I believe it was six students. And what really fascinated me, Jerry, was when we asked them, what are your plans when you graduate? They were all MBA students. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What are you studying? Where do you want to work? Every single one of them said, I want to work for a big company.
Yep.
Regardless of what they were studying, their only goal was to graduate and work for a large company. They didn't have, you know, I'm in a marketing program and I want to join an organization in their marketing department, or I'm doing software engineering and I want to go and code for an organization. They just said, we don't care. We just want to work for a very large company.
I think that was fascinating to me as well. And I had the same exact response. Every single one of them did not describe the type of company, the type of job, or anything other than they wanted to work for a big company. And when you ask them, well, why a big company, what did they tell you?
It's the stability. They work for a large company, and they will start right out of college, and they will end their careers there. And as a matter of fact, when we told them that it's not uncommon in the United States for people to switch, you know, 4, 6, 8 jobs in their lifetime, their faces were like, what? They were shocked by hearing something like that. So it's the stability mainly, you know, and they want to grow within the organization and stay there for the lifetime, what they call it lifetime employment in Japan.
And they absolutely believe that they're going to have lifetime employment, regardless of the enormous changes that are taking place, not only demographically in Japan, but really all over the world. So this belief is just extremely difficult to get away from. And obviously, lifetime employment has been a big deal in Japan. When I asked them about, you know, what would their parents like for them, the answer was the same. They want them to work for a big company. Face is really being able to work for that company regardless. It's like all big companies are branded the same as not only lifetime employment, but very secure. And the other piece that hit me is that despite their major, whatever their major might have been, they fully expected that when they went to that company, their company would then train them in whatever the company wanted them to do. Yep. You know, so if it was marketing and they had studied accounting, that's fine. They'd learn marketing.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
So they were willing to do whatever it was, go wherever they're asked. And I found that fascinating because it's such a contrast with what I hear in the United States when a kid with a, you know, advanced degree or what have you is getting ready to get out of a school. You know, often they don't want to work for a big company. In fact, they don't want to work for any company larger than 500 people because they really want to become very wealthy and rich very soon. They want to work in a very specific area. All of those things.
Yeah. And I found it just the fact that it didn't bother them that if they got an accounting degree, that they were put into a marketing department upon graduation. It didn't bother them. That's the norm over there. Somewhere along our tour, someone mentioned that they spend billions of dollars on training. So when they bring in their employees and they train them, that's great. They do get the best training. But for me, and I think I speak on behalf of a lot of people in the United States, if I'm going to study software engineering and that's my passion, I want to work for a company and do software engineering. I don't want to go and work in their accounting department, or I don't want to work in their marketing department. But what also was interesting to us was that it's if they are told that they're moving from marketing to accounting, or from accounting to software engineering, or whatever specific role that the management has in store for them, they can't say no. Because if they do, there's no chance for them to move up.
Right.
And I thought that was crazy. I couldn't survive in that type of an environment. Okay, Veros, we're moving you over to, you know, marketing starting on Monday. Why? Because it's better for us. Well, what about me? You know, I mean, yes, I'm here for the good of the company, but I'm also here to do what I really like. And they don't have a problem with that, which I know is, you know, can go into a whole other story about, I forgot the term, but, you know, people with their long work hours and not enjoying what they do, they're committing suicide. That's crazy.
Right. The stress levels are extraordinarily high, and we and the extreme of that, of course, are the people who are opting out.
Yeah.
It also, the unintended consequences of not working for a large company, because once the large companies have filled all their positions, there's still hundreds of thousands of people who don't have the job with the large company. And now they're left with working with smaller companies that give them the angst about not having a lifetime job, even though it's an illusion anyway. Mm-hmm. So there are an extraordinary set of issues that are being set up there in Japan. It also impacts the ability of Japan as an economy to be innovative. If in fact everybody is trying to be in that larger company and to be like everyone else. So I don't know where it's all going, but it clearly, given some of the demographics that exist there, it clearly is going to put much more stress on that country over the next few years.
Yes, I agree. Although I think that we heard that there's hope, right? That the government is aware of this, and, you know, universities and maybe not as much corporations are trying to fill that gap or find how to progress a little bit, you know, towards modern times, if you will. I don't know that that necessarily is going to happen anytime sooner. Take, for example, the ladies. You know, that was another subject too. There were two girls that were in our group at the university, and they want to have families. So imagine now, you know, a modern working woman, she graduates from the university in Japan, wants to, you know, have a career and a family. It's so difficult because not only do the women have children, they also are responsible for taking care of their elderly parents.
Right.
So the moment that they leave from their organization, the large company, to go and raise a family, it's very difficult for them to come back because it's frowned down upon. Well, you have a family. Are you going to give us are you going to give us what a man would, you know? And then, you know, one of the other terms was the, what was it? A healthy and happy husband, I always screw it up. A happy and healthy husband is one who's away from home or something like that. As long as he's healthy, as long as he's working, a working and healthy husband who's away from home is the right husband because he works from 6 a.m. until midnight, brings home the bread, and then the woman stays home and raises the family. And that I just found crazy.
It's 1950s kind of thinking, first of all.
Exactly.
There's unintended consequences. If you have lifetime employment and you take time off to raise family, take care of elderly parents or what have you, you're losing seniority.
Yes.
And seniority over time, if it's a lifetime of employment, you expect to grow and develop based on seniority. And so you lose that seniority. And so many of the companies are making choices right from the beginning that since you are more likely to be the one who does leave to raise a family, that's going to be an issue for you in terms of the types of jobs they're going to give you and the type of development that you're going to have in terms of the training to do other kinds of things. So I think the whole system has problems that kind of operated well in another era when the thinking about how one works and who works was very different than today. And so when folks in Japan talk about solving this problem that they have with their demographics and population by bringing more women into the workforce, they can't do it without making major shifts to all of these areas, everything from providing extraordinary daycare, if you will, so the women can do work as well as stay home, and that men might have more options themselves in terms of being more of a caregiver and provider than simply working 80 hours a week. So I think it's fascinating. The learning was there. In my way of thinking, I certainly had read a good deal about those kinds of things before, but I never realized how embedded they were in a culture that's been doing it this way for literally hundreds of years.
Yeah, I was in shock when I was, especially with those students. It's ingrained. It's what they're brought up to do.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's ever, well, I shouldn't say ever, it's going to take a very, very long time to change that.
Well, the way it usually changes is revolting, is the revolt of the younger generation. But it seems to me that the younger generation is less likely to revolt than some of the more aware characters who actually are older. The one, I think, extraordinary idea that I'd heard in Japan was some of the leaders who are most powerful men volunteering to leave their positions in order to get a new generation in power that might be more progressive. I thought that was pretty fascinating. I don't think it's practical for them to do it. And I can't imagine many men or women in power volunteering to give it up. But at least it was an interesting concept from that perspective.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just from the communication from the college kids, it just seems like that's the norm. That's normal for them. And it's going to continue, and they're okay with it. That's the thing that was very disturbing to me, is that they are okay with this type of situation.
Sure.
And will they revolt? Will they try to make a change? Like you said, potentially, but I think we're years out. And yeah, as advanced as Japan is in other areas, it just seems like they're so behind. Even the thought of, well, we're going to do AI, we're going to incorporate some of that, and we're going to, you know, work with HR technologies to make things better. But how? If you're blindsided and that's the way that you think and feel about how you've been for so many years, what is it really going to take to make that change?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that was very disturbing to me. I mean, the men don't speak out as much. Imagine the women, you know, the ones that are leaving to go home and raise families. I mean, I didn't see, you know, you saw a lot of men in suits walking around Tokyo, you know, and running and rushing and, you know, hopping on the train. The commutes, 2-hour commutes each way. I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, it happens, but that's normal to them.
Well, this is really great. And Angie, one of the things that we're doing here is in January, we're going to have a webinar in which many of the folks who attended this delegation, who are part of this delegation, like yourself, China Gorman, Sue Messinger, Joe Weech, and others, Deb McGrath, are trying to get together so that we can talk about this subject and others that we had so that we can share some of our learning about how work evolves in Japan, as well as how some of the hiring evolves. So on that note, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes to have a chat with me.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
It was a pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to the Career Crossroads broadcast of today's Shared Headlines. CXR members get full articles and additional members-only content at careercrossroads.com.